Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name's David Reed. This is Marek Larwood.
Hello, podcast listeners.
Hello to you. We're going to talk about some more movies this week, shock horror. Now, one that I've been wanting to catch up on for a while, I've managed to, and it turns out you have too.
How do you know this?
Well, we do occasionally talk briefly before we press record.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is Nightcrawler.
Nightcrawler. A film many were saying was overlooked for the Oscars, because it came out at the time of, you know, the worthy films.
What's that in the background? Angle grinder?
Oh, yeah. I thought it wasn't noisy enough here with the sirens and the dogs, so I've asked someone to do some angle grinding next door.
Oh, that's really nice. Because sometimes you want to listen to a podcast and think, I really want some really background.
Some angle grinding.
I want to get away from the quiet peace of my normal life.
Well, the few occasions we've recorded it round at yours, I found the birds tweeting and the breeze invasive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, Nightcrawler, what is it about, please?
Nightcrawler, it's about a character called Lou Bloom, who is played by Jake Gyllenhaal, who is a sort of creepy man who starts out stealing scrap metal from building sites at night and in order to make a bit of money, and ends up coming across a profession he hadn't really been aware existed, which is being the first on the scene with a video camera to film traffic accidents and stabbings and crimes, basically, in the night, so you can sell your footage to the news. And this becomes a sort of strange obsession of his, I think.
There are other rival news crews. He reckons a new...
Bill Paxton being the main one, isn't
it? Yeah. And that's it, really. It's the main story.
That's the story, but it's a character piece about him and the lengths to which he is willing to go to get the story, and it's a satire on modern news media as a result. What did you think of it?
What a brilliant new psychopath.
He was fantastic, wasn't he?
I think he's great in this. I mean, he can sometimes people... I know he always gives people a bit... There's something otherworldly about... him.
But when he's in roles that use that to its full advantage is when he's at his best. I mean, the reason he's famous is because of Donnie Darko, which was fantastic. He was playing a nice, normal kid who just has this weird edge to him, and it worked perfectly. There's something in his eyes. And in this, playing Lou Bloom, he has just got something terrifying going on.
I think it's great. I think this should have been nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah.
I think it was one of...
It's probably because it's more a thriller than a real sort of heavy, meaty piece.
And that's what's good about it. Yeah. It is a thriller, but with and a piece of social commentary. But maybe his character's so... I don't know if his character... Is he sort of slightly Asperger's or something? I think there's something wrong with him.
Well, he's sociopathic, definitely. Yes.
Yeah. But it's just pacey, it's exciting... Because the backdrop of sort of all these things happening in the news, and it gives you, it's got that moral question of, you know, what is right or wrong. Rene Russo plays a great cameo in it as the head of a news story. I was chatting about this on another podcast called Americanage, and Dan Lowe, who's been on the show before, said it's got a bit of a feel of Network to it, you know, the film Network, but a modern take on that. I really enjoyed it, and it is a thriller, and it was everything I hoped it would be. There's one shot which is great where Jake Gyllenhaal's or Gyllenhaal, however you pronounce it, is talking to his he employs this mad help and film stuff.
Who is he's excellent in it, isn't he?
He's a brilliant British actor.
Riz Ahmed, who you may know as he's the lead in Four Lions, the terrorist comedy.
He's brilliant in this. Anyway, there's a bit where he's turning to talk to him, and the light catches Jake Gyllenhaal's eyes, so it looks like he's got no pupils in it. I thought, oh, it just looks like a brilliant psychopath.
He barely blinks in this film.
Yeah,
you know, he's really going for it, but it's so much fun. It's so much fun, and just somebody who is. The use of language, I thought, was actually the script was fantastic because. He's using corporate speech.
He should be following these police cars now.
Going into Camden.
That's just stopped. If I go and take my iPhone out there, I could film that and make a lot of money, a lot of dollar, man.
But the language he uses of corporate speak when he is just sat in a shitty car with a homeless man he's employed, and he's caught saying, you know, you're going to be. You know, co-executive or what of the whole company. The company is him and a camcorder. Like, it's beautifully.
It's himself, a self-taught businessman.
Yeah.
Who's done one of those awful online courses and just learnt the words almost verbatim and failed to really and sort of applied them without realising the.
Applied them without humanity, basically. Yeah. Without.
But I've met people like that.
It's all kicking off, isn't it?
Isn't this odd? It's all happening outside. Outside your house. I'm having a look now.
What's going on?
The police are going. It's further down there.
Are there anyone with cameras? No, it's gone.
The timing has been perfect for that to happen. We're talking about Nightcrawler. Yeah. It's basically that, but without us.
Yeah. Ruining it.
Yeah.
Stinking up the joint. I think everyone should go and see this film. I think it's a really entertaining film.
It's written and directed by someone called Dan Gilroy, which is a good sign. He's written. He wrote Real Steel. Which
yeah.
I thought,
now, Real Steel is probably not a Marek Larwood film, but it's a kids' film about robot fights. But the script of Real Steel is excellent. It's a very good screenplay because it's about character. It's not about look at the shiny robots hitting.
I've seen it. I didn't mind it. I didn't mind Real Steel.
I thought it was a good kids' film, Real Steel, and he did The Fall as well, which we've talked about, which is a bizarrely stylish piece.
Which you would never think he did both of those, but this is the first thing he's directed. So I think he's going to be directing a lot more stuff.
Yeah, I mean it's an excellently well told story, and it you know, chilling. I mean the satirical element of it is obvious and you know it doesn't really go in depth, but it's fun, you know, it's fun that they're having a pop at news media and the lack of morality when actually they're claiming to be the moral compass of society.
Yeah, it's just and the tone is just maybe a couple of notches above realism.
He does seem to get away with stuff that you would hope there would be sort of police follow up to certain things that there just isn't because we want the plot to keep going, you know.
Yeah.
We don't want it to get stuck somewhere. But it's a really fun, dark film.
Original, well, pretty original, great performances, pacey. We both missed this at the cinema. I don't know why. I think it was during a spate of a lot of good films.
Yeah, it
was. The wait that came out on streaming, but you can buy. I bought it on iTunes. I think it's available on quite a few things now.
I bought it on Blinkbox, so yeah, it's out on all of the streaming services.
Definitely worth that £3.50 in standard definition mode.
Yeah,
it's a pound more to buy something in high definition.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's just the bandwidth. Isn't it that it takes?
But it's crazy, isn't it? It doesn't make any difference to me.
No.
I'm just going to stir this coffee in the background. Maybe you would like to make yourself a coffee.
Welcome to the noise episode.
There we are. That's a Snickers bar I had earlier. And they aren't our sponsors. But if you do want to work for Snickers or from any coffee company and you want to sponsor us, please do. I also really like Diet Coke, so you, and they've got a lot of money. What would you like to get sponsored by?
Oh, I'd quite like to be sponsored by Vic Firth drumsticks. That would be nice to get them for free, because they're quite expensive. You know, £11 for a pair of drumsticks.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Expensive things.
Can't you just go and pick something off? It's autumn time. Can't you go around?
But hickory. They need to be made of hickory to be strong and rigid. But they can take the shock. You see, it's a rare wood.
Well, this takes me on to something that's costing me a lot of money. My latest sport, Volsball.
How is Volsball going?
I'm
going
to plug it because no one will be interested because they're all film lovers on this podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
I've created a sport called Volsball. VOLFSBALL. Volsball.com. It's the greatest new sport of the 21st century. To fund the making of the Volsball stand, I've invested in quite a lot of t-shirts been printed.
I'm wearing one now.
75 in total. I've sold 5, so they've turned into a loss-making.
That's a loss leader.
A loss leader. And I need to sell a few of them to pay for this next steel prototype. The Volsball stand, the centrepiece of this new three-a-side basketball, netball, football hybrid, is turning out to cost me a lot of money because I don't know why.
Well,
it's being made on the Isle of Wight. But if you want to find out about my sport, even though it's relevant to films...
Well, no, because you're going to make a documentary about it, aren't you? So
I was going to make a whole documentary and I realised it's going to be a lot of hassle and no one's interested apart from me. So it's basically me having to film myself.
But as you've said previously, and I think you mentioned last week as well, with American Movie, people are fascinated by obsession. So all you need to do is just put your obsession on
the people in American Movie are mentally ill.
Yeah. Yeah, and people like that as well.
Nightcrawler, please.
How many marriages?
9.
Would you get? I'd give it 9 Davids as well. I think it's just a really tight, fun romp, isn't it?
These are the films you want to see, not these superhero bullshit. More of this, more of these inventive films.
Well, ironically, Nightcrawler is the name of one of the X-Men.
Do you know what? If you want to talk about any of these,
You brought up superheroes.
No, it annoys me because I know they're around the corner. I know it's all in the summer. It's going to be a whole load of them coming out, ruining everything, and having to go and talk to it. And then you can't even find any decent films because they're just packed with it's just 3D nonsense.
You think it's going to be bad? I mean, I am not looking forward to inevitably having to talk to you about these films.
I'm not looking forward to it more. So there we go. How do you like them?
It's going to be absolutely hellish few weeks.
I mean,
if you want, we can ignore them entirely and try and seek out the other smaller films that are getting drowned out by this rubbish, if you like. I mean, that could be a mission statement for our summer episode.
Well, you say that, but then you always seem to go and watch them anyway.
Well, I can watch them, but we don't have to talk about them. Well, you know, I'm making an offer.
That was a bit of an argument. We had a bit of an argument there. I'm sorry about that. If everyone had to.
Well, you've ignored my offer at the end, so that's.
I don't know because I don't. It's quite. Where are we going to find these other films?
Well, just Google them. It's possible. There's always stuff coming out. Poor films that have to go up against the Avengers or whatever.
Anyway, we've had a letter in.
Yeah. Who's it from?
It's from a friend of the show. Christine at Short Film Sunday.
Oh yes,
and they have a website. If you look up Short Film Sunday, which shows short films, they pick out one every week. Do you want to read it?
Sure. Where's
the accent instructions are at the bottom.
Well, she says she's lived in 13 different states, so that can be tricky. But if you want to have some fun with Chicago, a la Blues Brothers, she was there for 10 years. Chicago. I don't know how to do Chicago. Is that Chicago? I'm just doing the Chicago Town pizza voice.
Yeah, do Chicago. It's the same as Chicago. The Chicago Town accent's based on Chicago Town pizza.
That's right?
That's how they got the name of the city.
Chicago. I don't know if any of these syllables are correct.
Go for it.
Hi, fellas. Hope all is well there. Enjoying the podcast as always. I'm sure there's more, but you were talking about using real-life people in film roles. The one that came immediately to mind for me was United 93. They used air traffic controllers and others who had been on duty on 9/11, notably Ben Sliney, then FAA operations manager.
He was hired as an extra and promoted to play, well, himself. If you can remove yourself a bit and treat it as fiction, it's a genuinely well-done thriller. But it's difficult to separate, particularly when you lost people or even no survivors. I've never been able to stay in the room for the bit where the hijackers kill the pilots and crew. I like a lot of Paul Greengrass's work, and he's particularly good at some of the tough, based on real events like this. His early work on Omar is good also. He's writer and not director there. Anyhow, there you go. Keep watching the films.
Thank you very
much.
Have
you seen 1993?
I haven't, you know. The idea of watching an entertainment based on 9/11 never appealed.
See, I couldn't watch it because it felt like it came out too
soon. Or
yeah.
Too soon.
I don't know why I want to watch it. Anyway.
A dramatisation of that. Yeah, I don't know. But
something really sat weirdly about that. I just think of the relatives thinking, why are you making a film out of this?
Yeah, yeah.
So just watch it.
Because they made that Nicolas Cage one about the firemen, didn't they? So, and that you can see how that could be. I mean, I've not heard it's brilliant, but you could see how that could be cathartic because it's clearly just making heroes out of the people who risk their lives.
Yeah.
You know, which is fine. But we're speaking about a film we've not seen, so you know maybe we should let it speak for itself.
That's what's put me off.
Yeah, it put me off as well
because I just thought I don't want it's going to be horrific.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what happens, so you know it's
yeah. Yeah. Okay. We should talk about the next film then.
All right. What is it?
Well, I'm going to find another email because this was recommended to us by Chaz Hurley back on February the 6th. I'll reread this because we probably read it already. He says, "Dear David and Merrick, I know you like a documentary and I know you like a free film." What? "So I was wondering if either of you have watched the Adam Curtis documentary Bitter Lake on iPlayer. The atmosphere you generated blending the old and new footage together with your dreamlike soundtrack completely hooked me, and I ended up watching it several times, listening to Kanye West's Runaway on a loop." So this is a documentary. Adam Curtis is this... he's made a whole lot of documentaries I haven't seen, which were quite famous, but I'm going to look up after watching this. The Power of Nightmares won a BAFTA on BBC Two.
What was that one about? Do you know?
It's just about sort of Islamism and stuff. It says here, I'll read out what it's about. It says, suggests the parallel between Islamism in the Arab world and neoconservatism in the United States, and that they both help inflect a myth of dangerous enemies to draw people to support them. So he's quite a political documentary maker. What he does is, he's done stuff for Charlie Brooker as well. In this film, Bitter Lake, it's free on iPlayer for the next 10 months.
Okay.
And it's his style. I haven't seen other stuff, so I can't comment, but he's quite famous, so I'm confessing my ignorance here. It's so watchable because it's completely different to other documentaries you've seen. What he does is he selects a load of footage about the... The theme for this one is Afghanistan, basically the history of the war in Afghanistan.
Right.
So the problem is in the news, my knowledge of it is just the last 15, 20 years. And when it comes sporadically into the news, and you're told all these stories. This goes right back to the 1950s and... the American and Russian involvement, and how the rulers of Afghanistan at the time, the prince in charge, wanted to get the Americans in to help them build dams so they could harness the power, and they were interested because of the oil. Then Russia decided they were, you know, wanted to sort of help certain warlords out also for the oil, and how they built the dams led to creating a basin where they could grow poppies, which led to the opium and the drugs being sold, which helped fund the warlords. It's absolutely fascinating because I think the problem with news now is
it's so short-sighted.
Well, the word news is just, you know, it's just,
look at this man with a bullet in his leg, this person shot it, and that's all the analysis that you
it's
get
it's harder
you know,
to
you
get any long form analysis
nothing at all,
and you always want to say when this, I mean there's no start to any story, but a rough start of how this modern Afghanistan and the problems that came about, and he takes you through the 50s, you know, 60s, 70s with old footage, but not just boring footage. Just odd footage of strange things happening. There'd be no reason for it, but it just takes all this weird little bits of news stories of mistakes, people doing odd things, which aren't necessarily a part of the history, or just they just give you this feel to it, so it feels like nothing else. I can't really describe it.
Okay.
Almost watching a whole load of strange YouTube clips
or outtakes, or
yeah, but not necessarily, but odd things and people being odd moments.
Yeah,
and it sort of changes the way you think about history, really. You know, because you think, what is he just selecting different bits of a jigsaw to tell his story? And giving it a totally different feel to normal news stories. And his voice is a documentary, I presume it's his voice, of telling you what's happened. It's not constant. In most documentaries, you've got the narrator telling you all the way through. This...
They're all a bit the world at war, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, this comes in and out for... You know, you might just see footage, and he uses music. There's some, like, some music from Dry, some brilliant music on that he uses. I don't know who the artists are. So it's just footage played with music underneath. And you get a different sense of watching, a different experience watching a documentary. So you're watching these odd things happening. I just found it fascinating, and his voice wasn't overbearing. It came in at the right times. It's very long. It's like over 2 hours long. So
right.
It's almost something you can watch as a split experience. But I think, and he argues, his main argument is that in order... for the Western powers to justify their actions, they simplified the story of Afghanistan into good and evil.
Yes.
When it is so that we that they can explain it, and they've got the good guy, bad guy things everyone understands. It's too complicated to go into the fact that there's just hundreds of different groups of warlords with different wants and needs,
yeah,
that have historically have changed with all different I'm too stupid to describe it, but it's a very complicated story, and they've simplified it to in order to justify the measures they take. There's a fascinating bit when they talk to this old British, I think sergeant who was out there 2008 2009. And he was saying they were killing all the wrong people because they were just having warlords and people coming up saying to them, he's Taliban, that guy's Taliban. And because they knew that the British would shoot the Taliban members.
You know, so it's just for their own gain.
Yeah, they were just telling the British, and the British didn't know, they had really bad intelligence, they didn't know who's who, they didn't know the 20 years of story that's been brought in, told he's Taliban. There's literally hundreds of different factions of groups with different histories working there.
Reminding me of the story, you describing it's reminding me of 71. Of that just, you know, your impossibility of actually comprehending the truth of it. So
yeah,
it's easier to believe a lie.
That's pretty much it, yeah. So all and then eventually all the groups got, you know, started attacking the British troops because they were just killing people who were told were Taliban. They didn't know who was who. Because they just said, I think it's a fascinating
watch.
Well,
then they're just mercenaries, if that's all that's happening.
Yeah, that's it. They just didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah.
Because they had simplified the whole thing into good and evil, and it wasn't that, and they were misused because of that.
Wow.
I'm not necessarily giving the best description, as usual.
What's it called again?
It's called Bitter Lake. It's on iPlayer for the next another 10 months. Thank you, Chaz Hurley, for recommending this. I think it's Adam Curtis... a documentary maker is a bit of a genius because you feel different when you... I love it when you feel a film makes you change your way of thinking. You're watching something at odds with what you normally watch, and once you get used to it, you think, first of all, you start off the first 10-20 minutes thinking, this is weird.
Mm.
Is it just weird bits of footage? But once you get sucked into that way of thinking, it's quite refreshing. It's nice to have something that tells you without patronising you,
yeah,
a history of the Afghanistan conflict. And I can't believe there's not more things like this. Which, you know, you always want to go to a place and go, where are the videos that explain can you explain to me what's happening in this country in 2 hours in a documentary?
Yeah,
because it'd be really, really useful. And I think it's quite nice to hear an impartial voice,
yes,
as well, and a fresh voice who's got his own ideas and intelligent enough to look into all the different things going on from the Western government's point of view.
I mean, it's interesting, the whole not to get off films too much, but you're right, there's no real analysis or public story of saying what actually has been going on in the Middle East recently. You know, it's all so narrow-minded, short focus. You know, most people would go, well, we know that America invaded Iraq and that had nothing to do with Afghanistan, but they tried to link the two of them, and that's not true. But the real reasons, everyone just goes, well, it's about oil, and sort of dismisses it. You just say, well, there's more to
simplified to make it palatable.
Yeah, yeah. But everyone seems sort of happy with that. This sounds very interesting. I'm going to check it out.
It's great the BBC have done this and put this free on their website, and they've pushing him. And I think everyone will enjoy this.
Great. Well, Bitter Lake.
On iPlayer, BBC iPlayer only.
For 10 more months. That's a long time. They usually only put things on there for 30 days. Well, I think that's us for this week, isn't
it? Yeah, yes.
Yeah, that's all we're doing. Remind you again, if you'd like to write to us, then please do so, dearfilmfandango@gmail.com, and we will read your letters out in the podcast. Also, we do all of this for free. So if you'd like to donate towards our running costs, then please go to filmfandango.co.uk and follow the links from there.
Even 20 pence.
Yeah, 20 pence.
25 pence.
2,500 pence.
Thank you very much, people have donated.
Yes, thank you.
It all goes on...
everything.
We don't make profit out of this. It all goes on cinema tickets and paying for the Libsyn...
to host the...
So thank you very much for people who have donated.
Yes, we'll be back next week. Keep watching the films. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.